God, I left the volume up on my iPad again. Good grief. Rookie mistake. The God. Jeez. Look, we got a live stream going week, and I don't even know what to do about it. Jesus.
Bless him. Bless him. Holy cow. Just going to jump in here. Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Let me help you out, friend. Welcome to Make Me Smart, the show where we try to make today make sense and we try to make today go.
Yes, well, we're trying. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the idiot in the room here, obviously. It's Happy Hour Friday. Economics on Tap is what we like to call it. We've got the live stream up and running today. Yes, we do. Thank you to everybody joining us on YouTube, all 320 of you right now.
I know. Look at them. What are they drinking? What are they doing? A bunch of IPAs.
Kinds of stuff. Oh, there's some water.
I guess I missed the good drinks
There's a Dunkin' Donuts coffee drinker, whiskey. Which is just a mistake.
Yeah, told you that was going to happen. Yeah, yep. Looking over here, we got a Mike Hess Grapefruit Soulless IPA in my Kai-PA glass. That is commitment.
Awesome.
That is commitment. I'm in my new studio, in my new garage studio, which I'm very excited about, and I have made as girly as I possibly can. Thanks, everybody, for coming to the live stream to check it out. I think we post them on YouTube later, so you could go look later, because I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what do we think? Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't have the plants. Do we have the plants? What do we think of the plants, you guys? I'd like listener comments on the plants. Just let us know.
This way so you can see all the plants. Oh, look at that. I'm going to reframe. Just tell me your thoughts on the plants, and then we'll explain later.
Yes. Yeah.
Two of them are fake and one of them is not. Tell me if you can tell the difference, because you can't. This is like the fake Christmas tree. Right. Like, I didn't even know that this universe was an option. Fake plants, you guys. I say this as a certified plant lady. My house is so full of plants, it's getting absurd. And I have a little garden outside or whatever. And I was just like, it's the garage. I'm not bringing stuff up to the garage, AKA water.
Wow. All right.
Big plants.
You do you, friend. You do you.
They're making me smile.
I noticed today the plants in my office are dying, which is to be expected a year into this pandemic. So exactly. I guess marketplace has cut off the watering service.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to water my own plants, but that's fine.
I was actually thinking about about this a minute ago when I said that I canceled satellite radio. I think in the list of businesses that are not faring well, like office plant supplies, which is a pretty thriving, you know, they bring in the new plants and water them and stuff. And then I wonder how many other people have canceled satellite.
So look at this. So there's not a lot of love for your fake plants. Hang on a minute. No effing fake plants. And then the next one down, hold on. Allison Galinsky, a very practical woman, points out you have to dust fake plants.
You have to dust real plants too, man.
You do?
I literally dust my plants. Yes, I'm a crazy plant lady. Like, I actually dust them because they get all dusty. And then I hit the microphone. Wow. I was so excited about it. Yeah.
All right. So I'm having a beer.
I know you guys
always
are half empty on it. I challenge you to tell me which of these three plants is not real. And we'll get to the real half empty later. We have some news. Fair enough. Have? What's your beer today?
So I'm having an El Segundo Brewing Company Radioactive Fallout Hazy IPA, since I'm on IPA kick.
Yeah. It's a stoner label you got there.
It is, isn't it? But yeah,
it's
quite good. What are you?
As you may have heard on the show yesterday, I'm calling an unofficial end to Dry February, which I have been marginally successful at, if I'm being 100% honest. Mostly Dry February, I'm calling it. So today I'm having a pomegranate Negroni.
Oh.
And I discovered I'm not good at this, made myself a little orange twist, but I didn't know how to twist it, and it's too fat. So this is a skill I'm going to have to learn from Kimberly. But I do have a big square ice cube in it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Those are the bomb, I'm told. Yeah.
Mmm. And what I did was, this feels like kind of a jerk thing to do, but I took one of the mocktails that I got, because they came way late into Dry February, and I put some gin in it.
It's all good.
I weirdly feel kind of guilty about that. I feel a little ashamed, but it's tasty.
There are no rules on a Friday on this podcast. I'm just saying. Much as
Marisha
Cabrera and Juan Donatan would like for us to have some rules, we're not having any rules. So
wouldn't they, though?
Too bad.
They would love it. Yeah. Okay.
They would.
What do we got?
One of the rules they would probably like to enforce is us to move on in this podcast and talk about the
show.
Let's do the actual thing. Okay.
Oh, fine.
I notice we both have two. We could take turns.
Because we're
awesome. We could
go
2-2. We could go 1-1-1-1. What do we want to do?
Mine are the same.
My first
Mine
one's
basically
a quickie.
The same, so go ahead.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. My very first one is a quickie, and I just want to point out that I kind of can't believe we're back here again. CPAC is this weekend, the Conservative Political Action Conference. It's down in Orlando. It's a gathering of conservatives and Republicans in our political spectrum. And I bring that up only because Donald Trump Jr. made a speech today in which he called it TPAC, the Trump Political Action Committee. Ted Cruz said today, Donald John Trump ain't going nowhere. And Mitch McConnell said yesterday on television that he would certainly support Donald Trump Sr. if he were the Republican Party's nominee in 2024. And I just kind of can't believe we're back here again. That's it. And I, without any editorializing, except for perhaps tone, I kind of can't believe we're back here again. You know? I'm gobsmacked.
Yeah. I mean, all in is all in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess now we find out what.
Yeah.
What the cost of all in may end up being.
Right. Right. And look, we had 4 years of cost and now we're going to have, I don't know, some more. Okay. So that's my item number one.
Several years of fallout. So it's like, what are you going to be able to stand by as the indictments come, as the investigations move further? Right. It's sort of like, you may feel that you are pot committed to this path at this point, but the future is not yet written. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I'm going to say, so look, this is interesting. I'm going to say the future actually is written in this very particular instance.
Yeah.
I think we know what's going to happen. Yeah, I do. I think we know what's going to happen for sure. The monumental popularity of Donald Trump with the Republican base will necessitate that Republican leadership kowtow to his every whim and want, and come 2022, which is the next opportunity at the ballot box, he will be a huge, huge factor. I believe the future is written. Indictments, investigations, take your pick, his taxes at the Manhattan DA, all that stuff notwithstanding. That's what I believe.
What does huge factor mean, though? Like, Republicans continue to win a lot of national office despite, you know, generally the policies being less popular in the polls and the potential split in the party. I mean, it is a risky strategy with respect to national offices.
I think the Republicans win the Senate in 2022. Oh, is this a prediction show? Is that where we got?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
Looks like it.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
I think Republicans win the Senate in 2022, right? I think Donald Trump makes a lot of noise about being the nominee in 2024, starting on Sunday with his speech. And I think we're not ready for that. Much as we were not ready for his first emergence, I don't think we're ready for it now. I mean, the media has a different lens on him now, but I don't think we're equipped as a society for him. I mean, I honestly don't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I could not help but notice today that two things occurred. One was that the SEC suspended trading in 15 securities due to, quote, questionable social media activity. This, of course, is the response to retail interest in certain stocks, including GameStop. I'm going to open up the list of the full list of suspensions that were announced today, Friday. And also, there was this tweet by one Elon Musk yesterday with response to somebody saying, like, the SEC should investigate you. And he says, I hope they do. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so I'm having this thought that would be like a really cool Wired column if I didn't have a kid at home and two daily shows to do. But that thought is, at what point is the incoming chair of the SEC, whoever that turns out to be, going to have to deal with the Twitter problem? Because the problem is not the retail trading in multiple issuers based on social media and trading activity. The problem is that what we're seeing is essentially like real-time market manipulation by people with big followings. And I don't know what you do about that exactly, but like, you're going to have to take this seriously. I mean, so far the SEC doesn't give a crap about Elon Musk, it appears. Like, there isn't any disincentive for him not to just like goof around and go on 60 Minutes and say, I do not respect the SEC. Right? But like, The SEC doesn't have a retail investor problem. It has a Twitter problem.
Right. I think that's exactly right. So Musk could go and buy, you know, $100 million worth of Dogecoin and then 10 minutes later go on his Twitter feed and say, Dogecoin is the bomb. And he'd be up 20%, 25% in a heartbeat.
I mean, and you're saying that like it's a hypothetical, but it totally happened with Bitcoin.
Right.
And it happened arguably all throughout the Trump presidency. Like there's just sort of a, there are tons of examples of this. And there's not a rule. Like, I'm not advocating some sort of like, you're not allowed to tweet this or that. Although it is very possible that for certain people, there may have to be social media regulate. We have them. We have social media rules for journalists. Maybe CEOs of publicly traded companies need to have them also. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it's like a developing story. And to say, oh, okay, so now you can't trade. Hold on. You can't trade. I'm looking them up. Bebida Beverage Company, Blue Sphere Corporation, E-Venture, right. Helix Wind Core. Like, that's not the answer. That's not the answer.
Yep.
And I just totally think it's... I'm totally turning into you. And I just think it's really interesting.
It's interesting.
It's just...
And a little
it's
bit
a thing.
Bananas.
It's like, it's a bubbling... it's a trend. And it's gonna. Yep. I'm gonna call whoever the new CE is, like CE or SEC chair is, timestamp. I'm gonna call him up and be like, "So what are you gonna do about Twitter?"
Gary Gensler.
It's gonna be a great interview.
He's a tough nut. Okay, so there's the news and some ramblings and some rantings from the two of us. A little bit of off topic. What evs? I'm gonna assume Drew Jostadze on the other end of this phone. Yes, maybe.
Oh yeah.
All yay! Right, okay, can time to play a game.
We got
to
hit this thing. Who's in charge now? There we go. All right, half full, half empty. Drew says some stuff. We react. Ready, begin.
Are you half full or half empty on full employment?
I'm half full. It's a good thing.
I'm whatever Kai says.
Yeah, we want as many people to have jobs as want to have jobs. The catch, of course, is that right now the job market's a mess. But yes, half full on. I'm totally full, all the way full. Glasses overflowing.
Like, you think it's gonna happen as more people get vaccinated, that kind of thing, or you're half full on? Like, yes, let's totally make that our goal.
I'm half full on the idea. Right, totally full on the idea, but we are. Mm-hmm. 10 million jobs down, and it's going to be a good long while before we're even close to where we were before this pandemic, which was, to remind everybody, 3.5%. So, yeah.
I know. I can't believe I'm going to say this because I was just going to go with whatever Kai said because economics, but I might be a little half full or half empty because I'm not totally sure that all of these companies are going to, as we have talked about so much, you know, employees are just a really untenable costs for companies increasingly. And I wonder how many of these companies are going to say, we may do just fine. Everybody turned out to be totally able to work triple from home. Maybe we're not going to restore all of these jobs.
Yeah.
It's a little dark.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Also,
but I guess then they'll technically be employed.
It's our foreshadowing of our Tuesday show, by the way, just for the record.
Oh my God, it totally is. Look at that.
Kind of is. Kind of is.
That's probably why it's on my mind.
Right, Drew.
Okay, well, we're going to talk more about what employment will look like.
Yes.
Drew, save us.
How about the California net neutrality law?
Oh, interesting. I'm going to let you go first.
I am half full on that. California has had a pretty good history of pushing through useful regulation by dint of its size and power. And this one really, I think, had been a long time coming. I think there's probably going to be further to go on net neutrality, and we're going to see more from the new FCC. But I'm half full in general. I think people don't think about it as much as they used to, but it's still very valuable.
Whatever Molly said. look,
yay!
I'm no dope. You know, you do this podcast with Molly Wood for 4 years, you take the lead. You know where she goes. Come on, man.
Excellent. Next. Easy peasy.
Fitness trackers predicting COVID.
Oh, Scott Tong did a story on this. Yeah.
Really?
He did a story on the data of people and mobility and how fitness trackers can sort of give you a sense of what this virus is doing. Generally speaking, I'm half full. Look, I'm all in favor of anything that gives more data about... Sorry, I have to open the door for the dog. Anything that gives you more data... here's Willow. More data on this disease. So I'm going to say half full. There you go. All right, can you hear her breathing?
Oh, my God, that is amazing. Oh, can you just pick her up? I know she's a good-sized dog or whatever, but...
She weighs 75 pounds. What?
Whatever.
Hang on a minute.
You seem like a strong person.
All right, wait. Well, come here.
No, Ben. Oh, my God, look at her. This is basically like a Zoom meeting. We're no longer having a podcast. We're just having a meeting when somebody's like baby and dog rolls into the shot. What a cutie. Now she's going to leave.
Now
she's camera shy.
Yeah.
Fitness trackers predicting COVID. I am half empty. I think that so far, almost every like fancy tech solution we have tried to come up with for tracking COVID is hampered by either like total inaccuracy or lack of adoption.
Oh.
I don't totally see That's people fair. Opting into this, and fitness trackers just aren't that. I mean, as you saw, I believe 1 week me recently getting like 6 steps on my Fitbit just by punching it out and going like this, like
yep.
It's not really going to be able to tell you where you went and if other people nearby had COVID. So no.
That's fair.
Come on, no.
Totally fair. Okay. All right.
Next.
Super follows.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, Twitter. All we want is an edit button. That's it.
That's right. Right.
You're giving us like this weird, now you can become a creator. Is. Twitter announced a couple of things this week, including the ability to... kind of make money. Like it's a way to sort of pay creators or influencers or people with big followings on Twitter, like it's sort of a tip jar thing, this super follow. And it caused a lot of people hated it. A lot of people were very confused because so many of the people on Twitter are journalists and it's really unclear what newsrooms are going to think of the people because, like I said, unlike some CEOs, we have social media policies. It's unclear what newsrooms are going to think if journalists are like, great, this is an awesome, second revenue stream for me. And what we have seen in other social media spheres is that the more you are incentivized to get attention by increasingly extreme and interesting and engaging content, the more that social media network turns into a crap factory, for lack of a better way to put it.
No, that's
and then
good.
Also they're going to announce communities, which are basically like Facebook groups, which is where all the bad stuff spreads all the time. So like all we wanted was an edit button.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't give it to us. Yep. Empty.
Again, what Molly said. Okay. So, there we go. Boom.
And
done.
That's it.
And we end with what Molly said.
And that's it.
You know.
Man, the show is so easy for you. No, I'm just joking.
No, I'm good.
Well, I feel validated. Thanks, man. We will be back on Monday with our daily show. For now, send us your questions and your comments. Hit us up at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Thanks to all of you who joined us today on YouTube. Alex A. is full on Molly saying Crap Factory.
There you go. Awesome. Good stuff.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Come on, it's Friday afternoon. Give me a break. Tony Wagner does production stuff for us. Stephen Bion is our video producer. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. Also, those Make Me Smart explainers that you hear on those smart devices.
So good. Today's program was engineered by our co-star, Drew Jostad. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, which I think we can all agree is also a character on this show. The senior producer is Donna Tam. She's down with the plants. Don't let her tell you otherwise. The executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
I would like to note that I timed my beer perfectly.
You just ran out? I have only had half of my drink so far because it turns out that after mostly dry February, I'm a little bit of a lightweight. And there's sugar too. Like, I could die.